37, beginning of verse 1, the Word of God says this: "Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you shall dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Verse 4, a very famous verse: "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Commit your way into the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So again, today we're going to look at envy and kindness, the contrary virtue to envy. Couple quotes here to get you started. I think this is a pretty good way to think about this. "Envy is the art of counting the other fellow's blessings instead of your own." Do you ever count other people's blessings? Well, he just got a new job, and then he got a better car and a nicer house. Why is all that stuff happening to him? Right? Anybody ever count? Come on now. Anybody ever count any other people's blessings? I do all the time, right? This one is really good. I like this. "The envious man thinks that if his neighbor breaks a leg, he will be able to walk better himself." That's about the perfect picture of envy today. If my neighbor breaks his leg, I'm going to be able to walk better. Yeah. You neighbors, be careful today. There could be a lot applying to you. I'm just saying, just saying. All right. Let's kind of go through just a few things left. Who are the only two people on the island that we haven't talked about yet? Anybody know? Say it out loud there. Diane couldn't hear you. Mary Ann and the professor. So, what do you think the professor might be? If he has all this knowledge, he's probably going to be, what do you think? He's going to be pride or arrogance or whatever, okay? So then we're left today with sweet old Mary Ann, who wouldn't hurt a fly, right? But the assumption would be that she might be envious of Ginger on the island. That's the way they paint all that. So we're almost done with this crazy Gilligan's Island thing. But it does help you as a tool, I think, to kind of, you try to remember, what were those seven deadly sins? Oh, here we go. It'll help you remember what those things were, okay? So we're going to look again at this idea of envy. Webster says in his definitions, "painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another joined with a desire to possess the same advantage." Okay? So what you're going to see is that in our modern definitions, a little bit of the malice has been taken out. And here again, the idea is that somebody has it better than me, and I want that same advantage. And even more, what it more used to be, the way it was laid out in the scriptures, was this desire to cause pain, injury, or distress to another. Usually when we think of envy, we just think of it as a synonym for jealousy. But envy has an added element to it that jealousy does not. It has an added element of malice, of hatred, of something bad happening to you. In other words, I want what you have, but not only that, I don't want you to have it. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an example here that will help you kind of tell the differences between we have jealousy, and we have coveting, and we have envy, right? Those are all synonyms we probably use often together, don't we, right? So I'm going to help you make this a little bit clearer, and we're going to kind of use like a dating relationship kind of thing as to really help this example, because a lot of times we use jealousy, especially in that context. Now, jealousy involves the subject, the rival, and the beloved. So I might be the subject, and then the beloved would be my girlfriend, and the rival would be somebody else that she's giving attention to. Follow that? Are with me? Jealousy is less concerned about the rival as it is about the attention of the beloved. Jealousy arises from the desire to have attention or love from the beloved. So someone might say it this way: I am jealous that my girlfriend is giving her attention to someone else. I want her to give it to me. Are you guys following this so far? Okay. So again, like, it's not so much that I don't care if she's giving attention to the other person. I don't care about the other person, whatever with the other person. I want the attention. I am jealous for her attention. Jealousy is more along that line. Now let's look at covetousness. That's the second one. Sometimes we switch them up a little bit. Coveting mainly involves the subject, the rival, and some related good object or good thing. When coveting, the subject's main desire is the good things. This might be like someone would say this. So I'm coveting my neighbor's girlfriend. I'm glad for him to have a nice girl, but I would like one too. I wish I had what he had. So here is not so much about the attention, but I just want the stuff that someone else has had. That's kind of like, especially from your Ten Commandments, right? Don't covet your neighbor's wife, his house, his donkey, all those good kind of things, right? And where we find ourselves a lot of times is, man, that is a nice car. We did about 3,000 iPads this week, okay, handed out to the high school. And some kids can bring in personal iPads. And this one girl had a brand new 9.7 iPad Pro, 128 gig, and that thing was so fast. Like, as I was tapping it, and we have new iPads at the high school, but hers was like twice as fast. And I was like, man, I would like to have that. Now, it's not that I didn't want her to have it. She could have it. I just want one too. Okay? And so there's a little jealousy in that sense of like, oh, I'm jealous that you have that, but it's even more coveting. In other words, I would like that possession. You can have that possession. I just want it as well. So jealousy is I want the attention, but coveting is I want the stuff. And then when you get to envy, it's a little bit different, a little stronger. Envy also involves a subject and a rival with some sort of related good thing to compete over. But envy is more concerned about the rival than the good thing. You follow me? To that end, envy usually has some element of malice. Within envy is the desire for pain, injury, or distress to befall the rival. Again, back to the girlfriend illustration, it would be this. It's not just that I want a girlfriend like yours. I want yours. And even more than that, it's that I don't want you to have her. I deserve her more than you do. I should have her, and you should have something less. Making sense now, right? Envy is not satisfied until somebody else is hurt. That's pretty strong, isn't it, right? And what can happen is, the thing I want you to be careful of, is like jealousy or covetousness can turn into envy if it lingers. Oh, I would like to have that. Why do you have that? Oh, I would like that. Why do you have, I should get that. Wait a minute. I'm better than you. I'm kinder than you. I'm nice. Why do you have that? Why do you get better than me? You know what? You should have less than me. And so envy becomes this thing of like, not only do I want what you have, but you shouldn't have it. And it will eat out the heart of a believer. It will destroy the spirit of Christ in a believer if it's left unchecked. What's been very powerful to me about this series is that all of these seven deadly sins are definitely deadly. If you leave them unchecked, whether it's anger or gluttony or greed or sloth or lust, or in this case here, if it is envy, if you leave it unchecked, it will destroy you. That's why we come together. That's why we worship the Lord. That's why we encourage each other. That's why we disciple one another. That's why we try to fill our minds with the things of the Lord, because we don't want to not take care of these types of things. Envy is not satisfied unless someone else is hurt. Well, briefly, what does the Bible say about envy? I'm going to give you a few different passages here pretty quickly. You can follow along in your scriptures if you want to, and just get a little bit of an overview of what the Bible says about envy. In Job, it says, resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple. Job chapter 5, verse 2, resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple. Again, do you see the deadliness of envy, right? Envy will destroy a soul, because it gets so wrapped up in what it cannot have, and it gets so angry at something else, it will destroy that soul. Remember I told you at the beginning, Psalm 37, and what's the other psalm? Psalm what? Psalm 73. Here you go, Psalm 73:3. And there the psalmist writes, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Ever done that? Come on now, right? I do the right thing. I pay my taxes. I go to work, and I seem to have a leaky roof, and my car doesn't start, and I have issues with my family sometimes. my neighbor over there, he's just like cheating the world and he's getting rich off all the stuff. Why doesn't God do something about him? Yeah, sometimes we feel like that, don't we? And the psalmist says here, that's what I did. I envied the wicked and I envied the arrogant when I saw their prosperity. And the Lord had to correct me. If you read all the psalm, you'll see the correction at the end of that psalm. Proverbs 14, verse 30. And there Solomon writes, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Isn't that a great description? Wow. If you find yourself wanting someone other's distress because they have something that you don't, guess whose bones are really rotting? Not theirs. It's yours. The more you obsess and stress over why they have it better than you, the more your insides are the ones that are in turmoil, okay? It's not doing anything to them, but it's rotting you from the inside out. Matthew 27, 18. For he knew it was out of envy that they handed Jesus over to him. Who is they that handed Jesus over? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Who they hand Jesus to? Judas. They crucified the one and only begotten Son of God who had never sinned. Why did the Pharisees and the Sadducees do that? Out of what? Out of envy. Jesus was getting attention. Jesus was getting followers. Jesus was having the crowds go along. Jesus spoke with authority. They were always the ones in that place. Now that he was taking away from them what they so craved, not only did they want that back, but they wanted him to pay, and he did on the cross. Envy put Jesus on the cross, one of many things. Wow. Let your mind think on that just for a little bit, right? Envy is such a powerful thing. Here, it put Jesus on the cross. Now, obviously, the Lord superintended all of that. But those Pharisees, their envious hearts, they blinded their eyes so they would not see and do what is right. 1 Corinthians 13, you guys probably could quote this. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not what? Oh, yeah, preacher, I love everyone. You do? Do you envy? Well, no, I don't know. Real love, agape love, God's love, God's charity does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud, right? Galatians chapter 5, 26, love this one. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. That's to the church. Does envy ever enter the church? Sure it does, right? Well, why does she get to have the great voice? Why couldn't I have a great voice? Why is he going to do all the talking? Why don't I get to do some of the talking? Why does he get to be the title of deacon? Why couldn't I be a deacon? Why does the preacher always praise her? Why doesn't he ever praise me? Ever happened like that? Right? Yeah. Paul says, in the church, please be careful. Don't become conceited. Don't provoke each other. Don't envy each other. Watch out for that. And James is even more strong. Chapter 3, verse 16, the book of James. James says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. You want to see real chaos? Put a bunch of people who are envying one another in the same organization. Oh, wait a minute. That almost seemed like something on the news this week, didn't it? Careful now, preacher. Right? You better believe it. What's the fighting over? It's over power. It's over prestige. It's over influence. Where you have envy, you will have disorder, and you will have every evil practice. 2,000 years ago, James said that. Still pretty effective today, isn't it? Even in our church, folks, we have to be careful to protect against envy so that we can have order and peace as the Lord sees. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter kind of gets us on the right track. And this is kind of that idea. Remember we talked about mortifying our members back in Colossians. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1, therefore rid yourselves of all malice and deceit. So if you're going to get rid of malice, what are you obviously going to get rid of? Envy, right? Hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Get rid of it. If you're going to grow in the Lord, you want to be what the Lord wants you to be, man, I absolutely do. There's some things you got to get rid of. It's not all just about being love and kind. It also means you got to cut off some things that are bad. And in this case, malice and envy are those related things that Peter says you got to get them out of your life. Let me see if I can give you an illustration that helps really, again, define this idea of envy and how it relates in our practical lives. This is from Douglas Twitchell. He says, it's the funny things you remember from your childhood. Often it's not the big events that stick in your memory, but the small, silly little things. I remember breakfast time. Specifically, I remember the Battle of the Toast. Anybody have the Battle of the Toast? You see, every morning, Mom would toast up and butter up a big old stack of toast and put it on the breakfast table, right in the middle of the table. I had two older brothers, and the Battle of the Toast was a war to see who would get the most toast for breakfast. It was a silly thing. None of us needed more than a couple slices of toast with jam or peanut butter, but none of us ever thought about what we needed or even what we wanted. Listen up. Instead, we only thought about what the other guy was getting. Our desires were defined by what the other guy had. Thus, if my brother ate four pieces of toast, then I just had to have four pieces of toast. It didn't matter if I was already full. I had to keep up. Eventually, Mom put a stop to the Battle of the Toast by carefully counting out how many slices of bread she toasted and limiting us to two slices apiece. It seems kind of silly now, doesn't it? But this is the cost of envy, the cost of looking at the other person and comparing what I have to what they have. I stop thinking about what is good or even what is healthy, and I just have to have what they have. It makes no difference if I need it. It makes no difference if it is good for me. I must have it. What are those things today for you? I just got this little aluminum John boat. When I get out on the lake, there's guys, they have these big old Chevy Silverados and a Ranger bass boat with like 150, 175 on the back of it. Why can't I have that? Right? I just got this little old dinky aluminum smoker. You see one of those guys that's got those T&K smokers? Man, why can't I have one of those? That would be awesome, right? I have like two pairs of shoes. You know how many pairs of shoes she has? She has like a shoe for like three times a day for like all 30 days of the month. Why can't I? Have you seen my phone? Look at his phone. It's like amazing. It does these incredible pictures and videos and all this space, and the battery life still works. Why am I stuck with this? Yeah, we all do it, don't we, right? This week, I do this about crying too hard. I'll see if I can do it. Hand out iPads, and this, it just gets stressful, and you start thinking this week they decided they're not going to be able to pay overtime. But guess what still has to get done, right? You guys all been there, right? It's like, oh, okay. So you kind of get in your spirit a little bit, start griping and complaining a little bit, don't you? And so this little girl comes in, she's probably like 17, and she has a handler. She has someone who's wheelchairing her in, rolling her in, and her name's Gracie. And she starts to talk to me, and she's like, here is my iPad. Okay, Gracie, I'll take it from you. Thank you. And that night, I was so glad to have a job. I was so glad to breathe and to stand and to walk when I saw her pleasant spirit sitting in that little chair. And I thought, it's so foolish for me to gripe or complain about a thing in this world. How can she be so pleasant when she has so much wrong? And the Lord corrected me. The next day, I shared that with a couple of my iPad working buddies, and I think they were like frustrated, like, oh, now I'm going to have to be grateful today. Sometimes the Lord does that in our life, doesn't he? Right? He tells us, be careful about what you're envying. Look at what you have that someone else doesn't have. But look at how sweet and pleasant and amazing she was in that setting. Oh, boy. Lord, help us to not envy, but instead, like Gracie, help us to be kind. So let's talk about that just for a second here. Let's talk about that flip side. How should we deal with envy? Well, Psalm 37 is great to help us with that. Let's go back in verse 1. Let's go verses 1 through 7. And if you haven't already, if you want to, you can highlight these in your Bible. These are great verses to help us deal with this element of envy that creeps into our life. Psalm 37, verse 1. Again, the psalmist writes, "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they're going to soon wither. Like green plants, they'll soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." All right, let's look at each of these things. I think I've got seven of them here for you to kind of look through with these seven verses. How should we deal with envy? First, by understanding that the wicked, as well as their possessions and objects of affection, are only what? They're temporary. All right? That new car, that fancy phone, all those incredible shoes, is it going to last forever? You guys know what happens to cars, right? They rust, and then you have Joe and Robert have to fix them up again. Right? What happens to clothes? Gets moth-eaten, right? What happens to money even, right? It loses its value, it loses its worth, it gets lost, right? These things are only temporary. Be careful that you're putting so much value on something that is temporary. Again, the psalmist says the green plants die, just like the prosperity of the wicked. We need to turn our affections from the temporary to the eternal. What do you value? Do you know in your heart that things are only temporary? Do you love Jesus more than stuff? There's pretty simple, right? Today I want to love you more, Jesus, than I love stuff. And that's a reminder already from this psalm. How should we deal with envy? The second thing, by trusting the Lord for our needs. Put your trust in God, not in man. As Matthew would write, seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, right? Today, if you're envying, the solution is to turn your heart from your own self-sufficiency to the one who provides. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Trust the Lord for your needs. How should we deal with envy? Number three, deal with it by doing good. Be kind. Be contrary to envy. Show kindness. F.B. Meyer held meetings. He was a preacher, held meetings in Northfield, Massachusetts, and large crowds would throng to hear him. Then one time, the great British Bible teacher, G. Campbell Morgan, came to Northfield, and people were soon flocking to hear his brilliant expositions of Scripture. Meyer confessed at first he was what? He was envious. He said, "The only way I can conquer my feelings is to pray for Morgan daily, which I do." Isn't that good? Turn that around. He could have been like, "Well, I wasn't the ones who had the crowds. I was the one who was having this influence and impact on all these people. Now this Brit comes over here and they're all flocking to him. I wish something would happen to him." You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray the Lord will bless him immensely. Can you do that in your own life? For that person that you're envious of, can you pray for God to bless them immensely and for them to be drawn near to God? That'll do a work in your heart. Again, be good, do good. Verse 3, trust the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, enjoy a safe pasture. When envy is getting the best of you, kill them with kindness. Your envious desires, you kill with kindness. If you have envious feelings for somebody this morning, how can you be kind to them? That's the contrary virtue to this envy. Number 4, how should we deal with envy? By obeying his commands and enjoying his blessings with a thankful heart. Are you grateful for what you have today? I'm looking at a bunch of people here today that are pretty blessed. And somebody up here who's incredibly blessed. Wendy and I were just talking about that yesterday. She went through that refugee kind of walk, and they didn't have a million things. Like, they had one thing here and one thing there. And every time you went and you saw what was happening to those people, and you're like, man, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. Today, be grateful. That will help you deal with a heart of envy. How should you deal with envy? Number 5, by delighting ourselves in him. This may be the key to all of life. Do you delight in the Lord? Do you treasure the Lord? In the Westminster Catechism, there is a question that is, what is the chief end of man? Now, many of you may have heard this before. The answer is this: man's chief end, or his chief goal, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And John Piper, in a book, Desiring God, takes it a step further and says our chief goal is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. That God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. What does your preacher tell you about every Sunday? We want to make the name of God great. We want to glorify him, and that he would fill us with great joy. Right? That's how life works. You glorify God, God fills you with joy. You glorify yourself, envy, jealousy, covetousness, bitterness, it's going to get in there. But you keep pursuing God's glory, your heart is going to be filled with joy. All right. Again, you want to get rid of envy? Let your delight, your treasure be in the Lord. Did you notice the promise at the end of that? How many would like to have the desires of your heart today? For how many of you is that a steak and a baked potato? Right? How many of that is maybe some great relationship or some big payday? What are the desires of your heart? The Lord says, if you make me the desire of your heart, I will give it to you. There's a promise. You hear me? I'm telling you, 100% promise. This is Preacher Penn telling you what the Scripture says, what God has promised. If you delight in the Lord, you will receive delight from the Lord. That's how it works. Number six, how should we deal with envy? By committing our ways to the Lord and trusting him for justice. Are you set on getting even? Do you guys, any of you guys pull up some of the feed yesterday on Facebook or any of that stuff, Twitter, about that slain officer? And rightfully so, there was anger. I don't want to say it wasn't rightful, but did you see how it was just like growing and spreading, and it was just like so intense? It's like, let's fry him, let's cut him up, let's destroy him. I mean, it was so much anger, and it was just like spreading, right? What we should do, instead of seeking revenge, is seek justice. Can you hear me out here for a second? All right? It is definitely right to pray for justice. And in this setting where this slain officer was unjustly shot down, justice needs to come to pass. And we need to pray for that. But we don't need to take out revenge, because revenge is not our place. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing the Lord today? Especially when it happens to us, when somebody mistreats us, we want to hit back. We want to take revenge. And if we're going to avoid this bug of envy, we have got to let justice or vengeance go back to the Lord. Whew, it's hard to do, isn't it? Especially when it hurts and when it's so clearly wrong. What happened to Officer Allen was so wrong. It's just clear to everyone. But our revenge can kick in, and our desire for revenge can really go strong. But what we need to do is give that revenge to the Lord and then pray for justice. Whew, not easy, right? Again, helps with envy. Finally, number seven, what should we do with envy? We need to wait. It's the hardest one of all, isn't it? Wait for God to guide. Wait on his timing. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Wait on the Lord. Well, why isn't it happening? Why isn't God doing something to that? Why isn't God uplifting the righteous, and why are the wicked seeming to prosper? Guess what? God in his timing is going to make all those things right. Do you believe that today? I definitely do in my heart. There is coming a day of reconciliation. And those who God has drawn and those who have surrendered their hearts to him, God is going to exalt them. And those who have rejected him and profaned the name of his son and profaned his name, God is going to destroy them. That is not my opinion. That is the word of God. But it's in his timing. Not mine. Wait on the Lord. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord. It's a trusting, isn't it? All right. Let me wrap it up with this brief little illustration today, and we'll be done this morning. History tells of a statue that was erected to celebrate the victory of the Grecian Games. It so aroused the envious hatred of the rivals that one of them sneaked out at night to topple the statue. He found it so heavy, he had to put quite an effort into rocking it back and forth. When he finally got it to topple, it fell the wrong way, and it crushed him to death. This is the bitter story of envy. Don't let envy crush you, but it will crush you today. But you can crush it with a grateful heart and a life of kindness. What I would challenge you this morning is start treasuring Christ, and envy will lose its grip on your life. All right, let's stand this morning. We're going to have a brief time of prayer. Again, I'm going to go and play that last song that we sang. And what is one of the words of that song? It is, "You are the treasure that I seek." Today, let the Lord be your treasure. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Put away envy and be kind to the people that the Lord puts in your path for the glory of his name and for joy in your own life. Let's take a little time to pray this morning. Today, I know you guys are. Be grateful for what you have. When the Lord brings people in your path like Gracie, people that are suffering, hurt, people like Miss Kay yesterday, all that she's going through, I've got it so easy compared to her. Let that challenge your heart to be grateful and thankful instead of fighting so hard for what you desire. Treasure the Lord with all your heart this week. Seek him, and trust me, it will be the most rewarding thing you can do. Thank you so much for your time coming today. Just a few brief announcements. So again, this Wednesday, we're doing Wednesday night Bible study. Last Wednesday was awesome for me. I need to hear the provision of the Lord. We did Abraham. We're going to continue doing a few more weeks of like encouraging scriptures. So if you come out on Wednesday night, I promise you, you'll be encouraged. We're going to try to have, I think, quesadillas and Mexican stuff for supper on Wednesday at 6:30, but at 7 we'll have our Bible study. And so it should be really good. Also, if you'd be in prayer, we have one more week of seven deadly sins, so we'll do our last sin. We'll do pride. If you are arrogant and proud, don't show up next Sunday, I guess. And we're going to go over that for our last week. Then I'm going to do a very small kind of a little mini-series about the purpose of the church. And I think we need to kind of rehear that again. I know I need to, and I want you guys to hear that, so be in prayer about that. And then after that, really be in prayer. This is where we need some help. The Lord needs to move and guide. But we're going to do a long series about the dignity of life. And we're going to look about what it means to serve those in prison, to serve those with special needs, to serve those like in nursing homes, to serve the unborn, serve the refugee and the immigrant. We're going to look at some pretty tough stuff that places we don't like to usually get into much. And so pray that the Lord will superintend that time, that the right people will come here, and that out of that series, we will actively be doing what the Lord would have us to do. We can't each of us do all of those needs. But in this room, most of us need to be doing something with one of those type of needs. And so if you'll be in prayer, we're going to try to get a few special speakers even to come in to talk about some of these things and to challenge your heart, encourage you. But just pray that the Lord will lay this out like it needs to be so he can be glorified. Continue to pray. Again, we pray that you would pray for our church, that the Lord provide for our needs here as a church, and also especially for people that need to come. And you guys continue, and me too, we need to continue and invite and disciple people and witness to people, that God would grow us as he sees fit. Again, coming up on the, wait a minute, you figure this out. Is it the 19th, Rick? Is that one, or the 12th? No, the 12th, right? We're going to have men's breakfast. So all the guys, Saturday the 12th, around 8:30, something like that, we'll have men's breakfast again. We haven't had one in a while, so looking forward to that. Let the other guys know. And basically, we just go find a place. We have a time of prayer, and we have breakfast and enjoy each other's fellowship. So please invite people to the men's breakfast coming up on August the 12th. And then on the 26th of August is the car show. Now, that's a good day. Anybody that can help out that day, we need your help then. But even more, we kind of need help ahead of time. So we like for our grounds to look as good as possible for that day. So we're going to need help with weed eating, with burning the grass off of the asphalt, with cleaning up the geese poo, I'm going to tell you. And I hope they don't ever have to do it again. But Michael's boys were awesome at doing that job. And so it should probably be somebody else's turn. You shouldn't have to do more than once in your life, right? But we will want to do our best to clean up that area. So if you guys can help any from now till that time in August with cleanup, especially that, you know, week and a half before, we want our restrooms to be as clean as they can be, the family room to be nice and clean, and especially that area out there. And just pray that God will give us people that day that we can love and serve, and that they could come to know Him, and maybe we can be a part of that. Are there other announcements? All right, if just briefly I can meet with Diane and Rick and Megan after church. We're going to have just a quick follow-up meeting there. And you guys just be in prayer. Anything you can do to encourage each other, pray for each other this week, send somebody a text. Ask someone if there's anything I can pray for you about. That would be awesome. And so let's make sure that we encourage each other in that way, okay? All right, let's be dismissed in prayer today. Isaiah, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Just briefly, if somebody hears something about Miss K's mom before I do, would you let us know so we can make sure we don't miss out on it, okay? All right, guys, have a great Sunday.